You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on the Back Row Fantasy Show, we talk the championship games, some of who has declared for the 2020 NFL Draft, and more coming up on the Back Row Fantasy Show, starting now.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts, Jeremy Barker, Aaron Arms, and Brian Hucks.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. As usual, it is me, Bark, with Arms to my left.
Good morning.
And Mr. Brian Hucks to my right.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on?
So, we were discussing, football's coming to a winding end. We're not ready for our free agents or rookies yet because there's still games going on. But we shall power through and talk about these games, talk about some college players that have entered the NFL arena, talk about maybe even the XFL they got a big TV deal.
I don't care.
Okay. And we'll just see where the episode goes. It might go off the rails here and there, but let's get right in.
I'm more worried about talking about the players that didn't declare. Because, I mean, this was shaping up to be... Sorry, good morning, as I normally say.
Hello!
Would you like to introduce yourself, Mr. Hucks?
No, I'm good.
Okay, you're good. So, so what? We've got Hubbard, who's staying. Etienne's staying.
Yep. Najee Harris.
Najee Harris is staying. I mean, arguably three of the top at least eight backs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Worst case scenario, three top nine-ish backs. All of which, I mean... Maybe heaping a little bit of high praise on them. In most draft classes, all of those are potential first rounders. I mean, along with the ones that Dobbins, Swift, Alaire Edwards, who else?
The other guys.
Edwards, Alaire.
The rest of them. The rest of them.
Anyhow, long story short, it's a great class, and it could have been that much better. We talked about this earlier. You said ETN. I mean, did you guys see on Facebook someone had shared Barstool posted that he couldn't afford to take the pay cut to go to the NFL?
Oh,
that was beautiful.
Oh.
But I personally think that the reason he stayed is because he's not assured to be the number one, two, or three off the board, which could push him potentially, the way running backs are, and think about depth, potentially as late as early third. I mean, that's possible. Okay. Or, all right. So let's say people are in love with Dobbins, Taylor Swift, and.
Taylor Swift. I love Taylor Swift.
And Cam Akers.
I like Taylor as well.
Four running backs in the first two rounds. It's reasonable to say that that's all that goes within two rounds. If he gets pushed down one more, I mean, that's possibly the third round. And I'm not saying he doesn't have the talent. He absolutely does.
Yeah.
But I think that this move was. Basically, to assure him he's going to be one of the top three running backs off the board.
Honestly, I mean, I don't think he actually came out and said his reasoning but I don't think it had anything to do with where he was going to land in the draft. I think it was he wants to win another title. He wants to get his degree.
What's he got to prove?
He wants to get his degree.
Oh, okay. Couldn't do that like smart almost kid. Ever like Cardale Jones did. You know,
well, Cardale Jones knew he wasn't going to have a future in the NFL, so he had time.
Dude's still playing football.
Is he?
Yeah.
Where's he at?
Yeah. I think he declared for the XFL draft. Oh. But he was on a roster to begin the season. So.
Yeah, he was. And, I mean, you got to think about some of these guys retiring early, like Luke Kuechly. Luke Kuechly retires. And a lot of that has to do with longevity in the game. Maybe Etienne is thinking, you know, I want to get everything out of the way before I go to the league because my lifespan in the league could be short. So
I mean, average running back lifespan's 3 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, granted, he's probably a lock to play 5 to 7.
You're right.
If not more. But maybe he just wants to feel secure about his future and do all the walking from classroom to classroom before his knees hurt every day.
See, I think it's a solidifying a higher position draft move myself.
Barring somebody
we'll find
jumping
out.
Him this coming season next year, I mean, he definitely the number one guy next year.
Najee?
I think.
Close.
He's number one to me.
Okay. I'll buy that. And I don't. You had him ranked as what, number two?
He was number two.
Behind Dobbins?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of pick your flavor, right? Swift is more of a, I see him as kind of a Todd Gurley-ish type of guy. And I know he's from Georgia, but that's not why. Like, the bigger can do a lot. Whereas Dobbins is more that small, shifty, Maurice Jones-Drew-ish type player. I mean, almost.
I like that.
Not quite Saquon Barkley, but the same type of game that Saquon Barkley plays. Jonathan Taylor, I mean, the most generic comparison possible. He's like a slow-ish version of Melvin Gordon. And it's same school, but real hard runner. I think Edwards-Helaire and Etienne are very similar players, and I think they're both Ray Rice-ish. Would be solid in the league under the right situation, right?
Yeah.
But it's I think that he may realize he's not the flavor for every team, and it's possible to push him down, and that's where I figure that move came from.
Yeah, and maybe he does feel like he has more to prove. Maybe he is going to bring more of an arsenal of talents into the next year at Clemson. Who knows? But, I mean, it definitely hurt the draft a little bit.
All-American and national championship.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you proved a lot, kid, is what I'm thinking.
He did, but you never know what's on his mind. Maybe he feels like there's unfinished business, and maybe he feels like he left something on the field. So, I don't know. It is crazy when a running back does not declare, especially one with, you know.
A first-round pedigree,
Yeah, exactly.
He's definitely got the talent, and that's something I do want to make clear. I don't think he's not that good. I just think that there's so much depth that it's possible to push him down.
Well, yeah, there's no guarantee any of these running backs going in the first round.
Oh, no. I mean, it's a rarity.
Yeah.
Last year, there was 3, 4? But that doesn't happen all the time.
And there's no clear cut. There's no Fournette or Zeke in this draft. I mean, there's great guys that could be as good. But there's a handful of them, so different analysts have their different guy at the top. There's no consensus Saquon Barkley in this draft as far as running back goes. Like, some people would have said Etienne was the best. Some are going to say Dobbins. Some are going to say Swift. I'm sure a few would have said Taylor.
None of them are wrong yet, right?
No.
Because it depends on kind of running scheme. Where are you going to go? I mean, it doesn't matter. Any of these guys go to the Chiefs, they're a top five running back next year.
No, 100%.
You know, and that doesn't matter whether it's one of the guys that would have stayed.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that. That makes a difference. Landing spot means a ton in the NFL.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, look at guys like Devin Singletary. Like, as much as we may have liked Devin Singletary going into the draft, I don't think anyone was looking at him as a three-down back or a team's future at the position. I think it was more of a kind of regarded in the same light as Justice Hill. Like, you know, this is going to be our change of pace for a while. Maybe he can work himself into a role. He was considered to be shifty and can make people miss, but not great acceleration and not that fast. He was kind of viewed that way, kind of Marlon Mack-ish, but he proved that he's more. So, I mean, who knows what we get out of this class?
I think I was a huge fan of Singletary's landing spot just because they had a bunch of geriatrics patients. You know what I mean?
That drove him on up the list. But imagine he goes to, you know, the Cardinals when they had David Johnson and Chase Edmonds, even though it would have worked out for him. But if he went to a team like that or the Jags and they, you know, nobody was drafting him in the first round if that was the case. But Bills with Frank Gore? Yeah. First-round pick and rookie dynasty.
We can always look back to the Ryan Matthews draft. Right, Ryan Matthews replacing LaDainian Tomlinson at San Diego?
Yeah.
Like, the guy was – some people were picking him, like, quite literally first or second overall in startup drafts because, oh, he's taking over LT with that amazing line and amazing system.
He had the talent.
Yeah.
Injuries really derailed him.
He
put up some numbers. I mean,
he was 1,100 yard back. Yeah,
I mean, injuries definitely played their toll on him.
But,
he could have been a lot more.
I don't know, man.
I think he could have.
He was also an entirely different back than what they were used to, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah, Ryan Matthews wasn't LT.
No.
By any
means. Oh, God.
But I think people expected him to be Melvin Gordon before they got Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So
you're right.
It just didn't work out.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you're thinking Matthews. I was like, LT was putting up 1,800 yard seasons, but you're talking about Matthews. So.
Right, right.
Threw me off for a second. Sorry about that.
Dynasty Rob's joined the live stream. How's it going, guys? It's going good. Mr. Rob, our good friend that watches the show week in, week out, which we appreciate, he says at the end of the day, it's all about landing spot. And that is, that's becoming the norm. He says there's not a ton of three-down backs anymore. That's also correct, which I think more backs are capable than they're getting the chance to display. Definitely.
You're right.
But teams aren't going to hand that over unless you are a Zeke or, you know, a Kareem Hunt. I can't believe I threw his name in there, but I did. They're not going to throw that at you unless you are obviously capable from the get-go. So we'll see. I am saddened that ETN is not in the draft.
I was excited for him.
Me too. And I have a number 5 pick overall in our league of record, and that kind of hurts me a little bit. I might have been there. Huh?
I said he wouldn't have been there.
He wouldn't have, but someone else would have because of him. And now I'm not going to know. I'm not going to get that chance.
You're going to end up with, you know, the fourth receiver, which is probably going to be a first-year All-Pro. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'll take a chance on the second or third running back in the draft. I won't hesitate. Like,
I get it. My point is four running backs might be off the board, and you're going to end up with a stud receiver. You know what I mean? You're going to be fine. This is still a great draft class.
You're going to get your pick of receiver.
But I would have liked ETN to give me that guy I could get at 5 instead of 4.
I have pick 3, and that's who I was picking was ETN, because I'm assuming
most likely would have been there.
Swift, Dobbins, 1-2, whichever way. And then,
And so. I think that, it would be the right one either way.
Yeah.
Like, pick your poison.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we should be able to. Picks 1 through 8 should probably be a slam dunk. So
yeah, I mean, this is going to be an incredible draft for anyone who has a lot of draft capital. I mean, I'm not for trading the studs. I saw somebody had it. I mean, it was a ridiculous trade. It was like, I don't know all the names in it, but it was like Devontae Adams, Patrick Mahomes, Saquon Barkley, and Travis Kelce for all of the first rounders in 2020 and 21.
Man.
I don't know if I could do it.
What do you mean, all of them?
So if it's a 16-team league, 16 firsts in each draft.
Who has 16 first?
Someone who was tanking for
both drafts. How's that even happen?
I just saw it on Twitter, guys.
It can be done.
I mean, just
you would have had to acquire most of those before 2019 started.
Oh, yeah.
But it can be done.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. You know, you trade away, just for instance, who was in 2 years ago draft class was the hot name?
Saquon?
No. Well,
I mean, it was suck for Saquon 2 years ago.
Okay, Saquon Barkley and Darius Guys. Let's say two guys have four picks apiece, and they're giving you four first-rounders for pick 1 and pick 2. There you go. There's 8 of them.
Got to take it.
Oh, yeah.
Got to take it.
Yeah, I just...
It would be very hard to do, but let me ask you, if someone's coming at you, let's say it's 12-team league, all right? 12-team, it's easier to turn down, in my opinion, so we can't do that. Let's say it's 16-team league. Someone comes at you with 32 first-round picks.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
what do you do? Do you say no? Or are you just like, listen.
That's like turning down 32 porn stars and just you in a hotel for one night only. You can't do that. You can't turn it down just because you want Alexis Texas. But you can't turn that
four
down.
Four of the best players in the games. Because here's my thing. I look at those four players and I think, shoot, like, I'm competitive no matter what else I've got. I may not win, but I'm competitive.
You're a bully.
So, yeah, I'm a bully. So
we'll mention more about that later. But
anyhow, so moving on from that.
This is way off topic, but I do want to spend just a couple minutes with you guys on your thoughts about the McGregor-Cowboy fight Saturday night.
I was going to stay with football. I was going to talk about the national championship.
Well, we will, and I only want to spend a couple minutes on this, but I want to point out my reason for talking about this. One, I'm a McGregor guy. I'm a fan. I love him, and I love him when he's one guy, and I still love him when he's the other. The presser was nothing but respect. No Conor McGregor hijinks at all.
Because he's going to get his ass kicked,
By Cowboy?
Yeah.
I think so.
He's been out of the game for over a year. That's my problem. Cowboy's the real deal. Cowboy's not a joke.
No, he's not a joke at all. But, I mean, McGregor's faced guys that aren't a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but in practice. You know what I mean? As he's fighting, you know, fairly consistently, he's facing those guys. Dude's not had a fight in a year.
I'm going with McGregor still, but
you can't replicate sparring with real life action.
No, I get that, but Conor McGregor's he's one of those guys.
I love Conor McGregor, I hope he wins. I want to clarify, I really do.
I like them both, yeah. And I hope Conor wins too, but I won't be upset. Like that's what I loved about the presser, like the respect they have, and the fact that Conor has either finally met an opponent that he respects, or has he grown up a little bit? I don't know. I love both McGregors.
I think he doesn't want the hate coming towards him from a guy like Cerrone.
Well, they like each other. There's clips of them talking.
Isn't
over
this
the
like
year.
I don't follow UFC. Yeah. UFC, admittedly, isn't he like a weight class or two up?
Yeah.
If he's two weight classes up, like that's not a good thing. Good place to be for a guy like him.
That's why I love McGregor. He will fight anyone anywhere at any time. That's why I love him. Like, he will take on any fight. He was talking about not Mayweather, but who's the other? Pacquiao. I mean, that's in the works. He's in the works to fight Manny Pacquiao. I know it's about money, but he's also not afraid to lose.
Let me also tell you, like, and I know it's going to sound stupid because Pacquiao is one of the best fighters in history, but I think that'll actually be a more entertaining fight.
I agree.
Because I think they'll won't be afraid to exchange, whereas Mayweather's beauty was in his evasion.
Yeah.
Pacquiao will take a punch to the face to punch you in the face.
Yeah, and McGregor's power is pretty impressive, so... I hope it happens, and I'm excited about the fight. I just wanted to bring it up real quick just because it has been a while since McGregor fought, and Cowboy is one of those consistently underrated guys. It's a really good matchup.
He's always like the second from the top rung.
Yeah,
the
he's always like next up to be the contender, not the contender. Yeah, and that guy's as cool as they come. Like, that's a cool guy.
Well, I mean, he's got – I just found this out the other day. I didn't realize it. He has the wins record in the UFC.
He's been
like
around 20, a while.
I think 22 wins.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Ahead of Bones Jones and a couple other guys. Like, yeah, like, he's legit. He's great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's also fought like 50 times. You know what I mean? Not all in the UFC, of course. But I think that the being out of practice problem is the problem. It's just like going through basketball practice, football practice. It's just not the same. Game speed's different.
Yeah.
So moving on to the national championship game. Coronation of Joe Burrow?
It was worrisome if you were a Burrow fan through about two and a half quarters. It was worrisome. Not worrisome because they were down. I mean, they were up at halftime, I believe. But it was worrisome because you thought this could go either way. And then all of a sudden, no, it wasn't going either way.
So, what he was – I mean, the first quarter was literally the longest quarter I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking straight PlayStation quarters. It's like three and out because every damn play was a pass. Incomplete pass. It's like, this is horrible. But, I mean, picked it up, finishes the game with 463 yards, five touchdowns. I think he now finished the season averaging over 400 yards a game.
It's what he's done all season.
Like, the kid's incredible.
He did have the jitters at first. But I would rather see him have the jitters and overcome them than just come out and not have the jitters at all. Like, Joe Burrow is an impressive guy.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the whole entire game, but I watched the first half, and them throws he made in the second quarter to Chase was damn impressive.
The ball almost stops in midair and then finds the receiver and then heat seeks towards him. His deep ball is really something we haven't seen for a long time. I haven't seen a deep ball like that since Marino.
I was listening to First Take, which is McShay and Kiper, and they're talking about, you know, is pro ready, blah, blah. And then McShay had the nerve to say he doesn't have an elite arm. And I'm like, okay, maybe he can't throw 80 yards from his knees. I get that. But the kid's got the best touch I've ever seen a college quarterback have. Now, he's only done it for one season. Last year he had some questionable throws, you know, some throws that I admittedly said to begin the season, straight up, love Joe Burrow because proximity from where he's from, you know, 20 miles down the road. But I didn't think he was necessarily going to be drafted. I thought fifth round or later if he got drafted.
Yeah.
Because last year what I watched is like him just over a, you know, SEC, you know, the Mississippi State linebacker, you know, someone who's not incredibly impressive, just glided just right over his hands. I'm like, man, like C.J. Mosley's picking that off. Like an elite level talent in the NFL is picking that off. This year, it's entirely different. Like he's just dropping dimes all over the place. And as soon as it releases, you're like, touching him. Like you just know.
Dropping dimes like Kevin Love.
I've never seen anybody progress from one year to the next like the way he did.
I mean, Kiper said he's been doing this for like 42 years, some ridiculous amount. He said this is the biggest leap he's ever seen.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, he had one for the ages, you know, coming off one that was not for the ages. It's impressive.
12 touchdowns in two games.
Yeah.
That's against
the
fourth and third ranked team in the country.
Yeah. He played good competition.
Yeah, he finished, I think, with 60 or 61, which beat, of all people, Colt Brennan, who played in the Mountain West with Hawaii.
Hawaii was a high-flying offense then.
Yeah, they were playing in the Mountain West, though. You know what I mean?
No, I get that. I'm not going to bat for Colt Brennan as a NFL guy, yeah, but that, college, he was phenomenal.
Yeah,
that June Jones offense, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. But like their best competition was Utah and Boise State, which is solid competition, but they were far and away their best. And this guy's beating up Alabama, beating up Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you look at the last four or five games of the season, he played top four teams. Like, Bama was four, Georgia was four, Oklahoma was four, and Clemson was three.
Yeah.
I've never seen that in my life. I've never seen someone put through a gauntlet like that. And just that, I'm sorry, it's just the most amazing, like, run I've ever seen. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've said it before, we might look back and say that this is the best college team that's ever stepped foot on the field.
It's up there. I mean, you can't not say that right now.
So. And I'm thinking, like, look forward at draft classes, you know, because we didn't know Miami was as special as they are in the early 2000s until we look back. It's like,
draft class, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait, they had, like, 11 All-Pros on defense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, and they had, what, three All-Pro running backs? Okay.
That explains everything.
So, anyhow, number one overall pick?
Yeah.
Hands down?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hands down. Because yeah,
whether it's Cincinnati or somebody trades up, it's going to be Burrow.
Was it you I got into that said Trevor Lawrence is that much better?
Probably.
Okay. Do you change your mind now?
No.
You still think Trevor Lawrence is leaps and bounds? He had no touchdowns, right?
I never said he was leaps and bounds.
In the national championship game, he threw for no touchdowns?
I prefer him as a prospect going to the NFL.
Okay. I mean, I don't think Burrow had any games with no touchdowns, but okay.
I got to side with the Hucks a little. I mean, I like Burrow a lot. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is better than Burrow, so I'm not saying that. But
I think it's close, but I don't. Last time, I believe you said it's not close.
To project as a prospect, like if you like, you know, one is a better prospect than the other. We've seen guys have a great 1 year and just do piss in the NFL.
Oh.
I don't think that's Burrow, but I can't predict the future.
Right.
So, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, when he comes out, he's going to be exciting. Patrick Mahomes, what? How many quarterbacks are taken ahead of Mahomes? Two, three? It's just crazy.
By the way, I guess I kind of missed a little bit. I thought Bama was one of their last games. They played three teams between Bama and Georgia. But anyhow, sorry.
Yeah.
But they were. That's how uneventful those games were. Like, you just didn't realize it.
Are you guys as excited as I am? No matter what happens, the Super Bowl is going to have one of these, well, two of these four teams, the Titans, the Chiefs, two of which, how long has it been since either one of those teams were in the Super Bowl?
1995.
99.
Titans-Rams was the last time the Titans, last time I think.
Titans.
And that was a beautiful game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and
2000, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, season, the 99 yeah. season. Yeah. I thought it was earlier. Now, I guess Eddie George got drafted in 95.
I don't know. I just noticed it was 20 years ago, the Music City Miracle.
Okay. Happened. Yeah, it was a long time.
Gotcha.
And the Chiefs, even longer, right?
Yes. Have the Chiefs made the Super Bowl since, like
Super Bowl 1, 2?
Yeah, like... Wasn't
that? It's been a long time since the Chiefs made the Super Bowl.
Let's see.
They didn't go
They didn't go with Montana.
They didn't go with Montana.
And Marcus Allen.
They didn't go in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been a long,
like,
long
time. Like 1963?
Seven, 68,
70.
70. Was it 70. Super Bowl 4? 3? Super Bowl 3 or 4?
Who did they play against?
Doesn't exactly say, but...
Or did they just play in the NFL championship?
No, they beat the Vikings Super Bowl 4.
Okay.
Wow. So...
They've been to 2 because they went Super Bowl 1 against Green Bay.
Yeah.
And then they beat... Lost.
And then we've got the Packers and the Niners, which are the Packers the most recent to go to a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah. No, Niners-Ravens.
Niners went the year after the Packers did.
Okay. So still a long time, right?
Packers 2011, I believe, and then Niners 2012.
I think you're right.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah,
7 years. We haven't seen any of these teams for 7 years. Some of them we haven't seen for 50 years.
In the grand scheme of things, the only one that resembles itself at this point is the Packers.
Yeah. That's the only one I just don't want to see in the Super Bowl, really.
I agree with you 100%. I have nothing against the Packers.
No, I just don't want to see Aaron Rodgers in a Super Bowl. I want to see Garoppolo, Tannehill, or Mahomes, Derrick Henry.
I would love to see Derrick Henry Super Bowl, but I really want to see Andy Reid get one.
I really want to see the Titans get there and win it.
I want to see a Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl.
That would be great.
Offense versus defense. Yeah.
But
that's what I want to see.
If the Titans happen to pull the upset again, I mean, how exciting is it going to be, that story going into the Super Bowl?
I mean, the most dominant run game versus the most dominant run defense?
Yeah.
Or
I know you just got done talking about LSU's impressive run to end of the year but if the Titans pull off this, they would have beat the division champs week 17, and then Patriots, Baltimore, Chiefs. All the division
champs. They literally
knocked off everybody, all the top
seeds. Four consecutive Super Bowl favorites if they do that.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Here's a comment to which I have a funny response. Rob, Dynasty Rob said, did you guys already talk about Jason Garrett going to New York?
No, I just saw that right before I got here.
I said not yet, and I also said, not sure we were going to.
I
wasn't going to mention it.
So, yeah, Chiefs, Titans. I think
it's a good hire, but.
Packers, but Niners. Yeah, it's a good hire, but I don't know.
I think he's better suited for that role than he is as a head coach.
Yeah, I think it's a good hire for a rookie head coach. Bring him on his staff. So.
And rookie head coach don't work out, but the offense does. Look at that. Jason Garrett, head coach of the Giants, 2022.
It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock anybody.
Now, let's also realize, do you think part of this has to do with a little bit of corporate espionage? It's like, oh, yeah, now I can tell you every strength and weakness from every player on the Cowboys.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely going to be
helpful.
Does
Jason Garrett know the strengths and weaknesses of the Dallas Cowboys?
He might not.
You can't.
He may not.
Yeah.
That organization's been hamstrung by Jerry Jones more than it has by Jason Garrett.
Don't disagree with that.
I mean, I agree with you.
But
Garrett, I don't think Garrett's great by any stretch. You know what I mean? But it's like, Jones make some better personnel decisions at times, and
I agree.
Spend money on people who aren't like women abusers. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna take a chance on. A guy who came off a knee injury, not a guy who beat up his chick. So,
I don't know.
Who's our? Let's do some game calls. So, who's it going to be? Who does win these games and why? Hux, we'll start with you. Who wins these games and why?
I can tell you who I think's going to win. I don't know if I can tell you why, but I'm going with the Chiefs Niners, like I said a minute ago. Chiefs at home. I know that Titans beat them back in Week 10. Derrick Henry, they're going to have to stop Derrick Henry, which nobody's been able to do lately.
Yeah, and the Chiefs aren't exactly set up to stop Derrick Henry. No, I mean,
they're the 24th ranked run defense.
Yeah. Yeah. So Derrick Henry could...
It
just depends. This game completely depends on which Patty Mahomes shows up.
Well, I mean, even then, I mean, look, when they played in Week 10, it was his first game back, but he passed for, I don't know, numbers, but it was like 400 yards, four touchdowns, and they still lost 35-32.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Patrick Mahomes is almost in that situation that Peyton Manning was always in. You are an elite quarterback. And with elite options as far as getting the ball out of your hands, unfortunately, you're going right back on the field because the other team's scoring.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think the Chiefs win by double digits. I mean, they're favored by 7. The over-under is 53, so they're expecting a high-scoring game. But I don't know. I think the Chiefs are on a roll. They've won like 6 or 7 in a row, I believe. And I think
I know they struggled at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but I mean they're putting it together.
Not versus what we were expecting, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think people were expecting like a 10-win start, and they start like 8-5. It was nothing crazy. I think the Chiefs, but I think it comes down to Andy Reid being the most experienced coach. Right now he's the most experienced coach in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah.
I mean, you've got Vrabel kind of, he's here for the first time. Not saying that he's not done a great job, because he has, you know, literally making me my words.
Really, the other three coaches are kind of here, because you got Kyle Shanahan, Vrabel, LaFleur. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they're all pretty fairly new to this.
So now you got the elder statesman by 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
I think Reed has the game plan. And listen, I don't think it's going to be an easy task to stop Derrick Henry, but I'm comfortable if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs saying, all right, listen, Dolphins cast off. You got to beat me. Ryan Tannehill can, but that's who I'm going to make.
That's debatable.
That's who I'm going to make beat me. I said, Ryan Tannehill, you're going to beat me, and the way you're going to do it is by passing the touchdowns to Tajay Sharp, Corey Davis, and Jonnu Smith. Because I'm gonna lock down A.J. Brown, and I'm going to put 8 men in the box to stop Derrick Henry. I'll go one-on-one. The only receiver
it's the best plan.
I mean, yeah, I'm not sure A.J. Brown's uncoverable by any stretch of the imagination.
Not yet.
So, like, 8 in the box, man up on everybody else. You can do it. Now,
you can do it!
You might have to, if Jonnu Smith's coming out, you know, in a route, okay, cover him, but you can do that with an outside linebacker.
Truth. What about Packers, Niners?
I think it's Niners.
Yeah, I'm going with Niners.
Me too. I don't think I don't think the Packers have enough on offense.
Yeah,
get it done.
I think that.
I mean, when they played back in Week 12, 37-8, and I mean Sherman can contain Devontae Adams, and the Packers don't have anything else on the passing game. And
I mean, it was a smacking.
Yeah,
I mean, it was absolute. I know mad that was beatdown.
I will say.
That was one of my decent wins, picking the Niners defense as a captain.
Yeah. I will say I'm picking the Titans over the Chiefs just because I'm all bought into the magical run. I picked the Niners over the Packers for the reasons we just talked about. But if you're betting money, go against me, because last week I called the Vikings over the Niners. I called the Ravens over the Titans. I called the Texans over the Chiefs, and I called the Seahawks over the Packers. I was 0-4.
0-4.
So if you're betting this weekend, go against me.
I have no idea what I even called
this. You will probably win money.
I was 0-4 2 weeks ago, so.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was last week.
I whiffed on every single game.
I think I went 2-2 last week.
So bet against me. Yeah. That's not a challenge. It's advice.
One thing I'll say is with the Niners, the people who are giving them good games, like as far as with high scores, really good teams. You know, the Saints gave them a great game. That's a great team. The Seahawks, a great team. You know, they're a damn fine organization right now. I mean, it's the turnaround that Shanahan had. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't think he was going to do it. I always knew he was an offensive guru. Little did we know that he was going to, you know, get the right guy to start playing a calm place for that defense.
Yeah, the defense is outstanding. And they're healthy again. And
I thought he was capable. I didn't think it'd be this soon.
I think it's going to be a close game. Don't get me wrong. I think it's going to be a much closer game than when they played before. Single digit, you know, it could come down to a last second. I think it really going to be under a touchdown score. So Aaron Rodgers, I think, is going to keep him in it to the end.
I'll tell you, like, if it we always talk about DFS, we have a lot recently, and we'll get on that here in a second. But the 49ers defense is my play in this. I think that that defense is good enough. I mean, they showed it before. It's hard to beat people twice. I get that. But they can lock down an Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Right? Now, good luck finding out which 49ers running back is going to run for 100 yards this week.
And that's why I think the defense is a good play, because besides maybe Kittle, I don't think there's no other guy that you like.
I like Kittle and Debo.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know if I'd like Debo.
Samuel Debo?
I don't like Debo as the captain, but
no, yeah,
captain-wise, it's either Kittle or the defense, which I'd lean the defense.
You go the defense. So I just throwing – sorry to getting into this already, but
– No, go ahead.
I went 49ers defense. I'm glad. I got Kittle, Garoppolo, Debo, Robbie Gould, Aaron Jones, and that's just like my first stab at it.
Perfect place to do it.
I feel like I can kind of pivot off of Aaron Jones. You can go Emmanuel Sanders, Tevin Coleman, like – If I was going to do it, what I might run is the same lineup three different times, but put Coleman in once, Mostert in once, and Breida in once. Like, not even exaggerating. Because I'm not sure Aaron Jones is any sort of a play this week.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
He kind of always gets his, it seems like. But, man, I don't think they have to focus on Aaron Jones to stop Aaron Jones.
I don't know.
And Quan Alexander's playing. You know, he's back.
I literally just threw this together in 8 seconds. So, okay. Like I said, I think it's going to be a close game. 27-24 type deal, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Niners in the captain. I'm playing the Packers defense also. And then I got Garoppolo, Kittle, and Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams.
I've yet to play any lineups, but so, I'm glad you guys went DFS right there.
I just realized with Niners as my captain, if I go Kittle, Garoppolo, Debo, and Gould, I could literally put anybody else in. Adams, Rodgers, anybody else will fit. Like, I was going Aaron Jones because I'm like, man, he's dumb. Then I'm like, wait a second, what am I doing? Why?
Yeah.
You know, Devontae Adams kind of, for me, is probably the more chalk play because he might get 10 catches for 100 yards.
Plus, if you think the Niners are going to win, they're probably going to be playing from behind or be throwing the ball. So, yeah, I like
it. So,
I like it.
There you go. DFS picks, all four games covered. What else before we end a short version of the Back Row Fantasy Show tonight?
I'm just going to throw out a couple of the other ones. With the Chiefs-Titans game, hard to really pay up for anybody because there's some kind of premier players with premier prices. So I went with the Chiefs as my captain as well. I know it's a ballsy play because Derrick Henry could easily take over that game. But my thought process is they're going to try to make Ryan Tannehill beat them. So that could come away with some sacks, come away with, you know, some interceptions. So if you do that, you can squeeze in King Henry, Mahomes, Kelsey, and then both kickers. I mean, that's a lot of talent stuffed in there and grabbing two kickers as well.
I think it's a great play because if this game goes the way a lot of people think it's going to go and Mahomes gets the Chiefs up on the Titans quick, that's when the Titans will make mistakes and that'll translate to defensive points for the Chiefs.
And you can also pivot off of Henry and go to A.J. Brown easily or Henry to Tyreek Hill. Like, Henry's so expensive that you can have any other player if you pivot off of him.
Right.
So, as far as do you have any on either of those games you want to talk about?
I'm looking at a lineup right now. I haven't put together anything I actually like.
So, in the two...
I like Tyreek Hill as captain, but I know he's expensive.
Yeah,
but
that's so hard. That's my problem is his price. So, if you go Tyreek Hill, you almost have to find a way to get Mahomes in there, right?
I do, yeah.
And then what else are you looking at that point? And
just this, I mean, I don't really care for what I have, but I got the Chiefs defense, Mahomes, A.J. Brown, Firkser, and Damien Williams.
Okay.
Firkser.
I don't mind that. Firkser is either he's
nothing or he might get
8 points or nothing. Yeah. 10-yard touchdown.
But he's only 600, so yeah. I mean, that's right. Cheap.
But worth definitely pays off in a situation like that.
Yeah. He has a decent game, and you banked.
Exactly. I mean, especially
if have to be big.
Especially if you've got the right captain.
Right.
You know, last week there was, gosh, I don't even remember who the two captains were, but there were like 60-some points apiece, and it was ridiculous. As far as the matchups, I'm going cheap on the quarterback both times with Garoppolo. I've got two different lineups. One of them's got Tannehill. One of them's got Garoppolo. Like, I think those are the best two options at quarterback this week. I don't really like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, just for me, it's not the right play. And Mahomes is so darn expensive.
Yeah.
So
and the Titans, you just never know.
Yeah.
The Titans might shut him down for the most part.
One thing
it is possible.
I stayed consistent on both of my lineups. I have the 49ers defense. Both of my lineups, the three receivers I got are Debo, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. I was able to get Kittle into each one of them. One of them I've got Hill, and the other one I got Williams. So one lineup's Tannehill, Damian Williams, Aaron Jones, those three receivers I discussed, Kittle, Hill, Niners. The other one's Jimmy G, Derrick Henry, Tevin Coleman, Debo, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Kittle, Damian Williams, and back to the Niners. So,
like it.
I know I'm throwing out a lot of words real quick.
Words.
That was hard to keep.
I'm sorry for that.
Hux, any last lineups before we sign off on what was the quickest 40 minutes of our lives?
No, I'm not a full lineup, but in the actual, the classic, you know, the two games, I like Mahomes. I don't mind even playing the Titans defense with the Chiefs like offense. I mean, they can get some
couple sacks. One pick six makes
the difference. One pick six, fumble recovery, touchdown, anything.
Right.
So, plus they're cheap. I mean, they're the cheapest. So
the mobile quarterbacks are great to play against, and that's the reason I'm going with the Niners. Like, more mobility, more likely to get sacked, more likely to have a fumble, force fumble recovery, return for touchdown, things like that. So
don't hate it.
All right.
There it is. The fastest. Is this the quickest macro show ever?
Who's the Super Bowl champion?
Oh, Chiefs. Man. Titans.
I want to go Chiefs, but I think the Niners are the best team left.
I'm going way out. I don't even really believe my pick, but I want to believe. I want to believe the Titans. I want to believe King Henry is the story of the offseason.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it.
I buy it.
I still hold a grudge from the Music City Miracle 20 years ago, man.
Oh, good Lord.
I can't help it, man.
Poor baby.
I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah,
I'm a Bills fan.
I get it.
I hate them.
I understand. I hate the Patriots. I hate the Jets. And I I don't hate the Bills as much as those other teams, but I don't like them.
I mean,
makes sense.
I mean, the Bills have sucked for so many years. Why hate them? They're terrible. I mean,
yeah. Same with Miami. Do you hate Miami?
I don't hate Miami.
There you go.
Same with the Raiders.
I hate the Patriots.
How can you hate someone that's not a threat?
Yeah, you know,
not
a threat. In hindsight, it's like, why are people listening to us? We have terrible taste in football.
We do.
Historically, we're all right, but gosh.
Listen, some of the best analysts out there love the crappy teams because that's who they. Ow!
Sorry. Speaking of crappy analysts,
you bully,
Stephen A. Hushmanzada.
Oh God!
Oh my God! Saying DJ Moore's basically trash.
He's
what's like, he done? Nothing.
Look at their first rounders. All right, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, nothing. Curtis Samuel, nothing. I'm like, A, Curtis Samuel's a second rounder. B, DJ Moore had like 1,200 yards in 15 games this year. Like,
DJ Moore was really, really good this year, but Stephen A. Smith don't know that.
No, Stephen A. Hushmanzada.
It was
T.J. Hushmanzada. The reason I said Stephen A. Hushmanzada.
I'm sorry.
But that's the point.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously, you don't freaking watch football. You know what I mean? T.J., Stephen A., it doesn't matter. Yeah. You're both terrible analysts.
Who the heck does T.J. analyze for?
I don't even know. I think he was on like First Take or something. Yeah,
it was on ESPN, I'm pretty sure.
Good Lord.
That's just grasping at straws whenever you're – we are available.
I mean, yeah,
we are available, and you're taking T.J. Hushmanzada. That dude doesn't even know what he's doing.
Football doesn't mean you can talk football.
Basically,
yeah,
yeah.
He looks like the great Khali's little brother.
I mean, is Frank Gore going to be an analysis after this?
I'm not sure that Frank Gore's like he's taking a lot of collisions.
Frank Gore's never been much for words, anyways.
Yeah, just
has he come out and said he's retiring yet? Is he going to keep playing?
No, I've not heard. You guys, I'm sure he'll be back.
Did you guys see the thing on Facebook? It was like Antonio Gates retires, Luke Kuechly retires, and Larry Fitzgerald's like, wait, we can do that?
Yeah, really?
All right, I'm done.
All right, thanks for joining us for another episode. Hopefully you enjoyed this quick commute version of the Back Row Fantasy Show. And again, follow us at the Back Row Show. You can also check us out on YouTube. We have a Back Row Fantasy Show channel there. We have a friggin' reaction channel where we react to new music and music that's requested. That's on YouTube at Back Row Reacts. And there you go. You want to see more of us, hear more of us, there's content out there. By all means, reach out to us, talk to us. We always respond. We love the people.
If you don't mind, you know, as listeners, if you have a player, maybe kind of not one of the big names, you want some additional information on, like for us to look some film on, let us know. I mean, we're all about kind of trying to find the smaller guy that nobody's ever heard of. So if you got a local team, shoot, tell us who your guy is, and we'll try to get some film on it. I'll be honest with you, if we think he's garbage, we're probably not going to talk about him.
Yeah, and if you're a Mac Miller fan,
we'll just tell you he's garbage.
If you're a Mac Miller fan, it's not what you're going to want to hear. So there you go. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Good night.
This concludes another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to give us a review.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.